Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Telford, joined by Ash Millman.
Hello.
And Jules Gill.
Hello.
Now, we just did a bit of news yesterday, although it depends when you're checking the audio for this out, but me and Jules talked about the fact that Nintendo are being sued over their left Joy-Con issues. And then Jules said, why don't we just talk about all sorts of ridiculous lawsuits that have happened, even though this one, the ongoing Nintendo one, is incredibly legit and should have happened years ago.
Yeah, it's ridiculous in the fact that it first happened, this Nintendo
it's taken
one.
This
but
long.
My God, if you look back, there have been some absolutely spurious claims against developers.
Spurious?
Spurious? That's a good word.
That's a claim. Hmm? I don't think that's a word. I think spurious is a word.
One new word a week and I like trying it out.
Spurulous is not
spurulous.
A word.
Spirulina.
I have a class action lawsuit against you, Gil.
Moving on. Yes, this is the thing. Like, it's very scary to be sued, I imagine. Mm. Never happened to
you
me.
Imagine.
And hopefully never will happen.
You know, with your list of mums coming after you, like, good. Whoa.
What are you on about?
Your army of children.
The blood tests will determine what happens there. But it must be very scary for developers, especially like smaller developers, to be bullied and corralled out by like other larger companies. So,
Do you know where we're going to start? We're going to start with Mass Effect 3.
Oh, my favourite.
It is, isn't it? What a lovely time that was. So that was one of the whole things where everyone hated the Mass Effect 3 ending so much that there was a whole, I think it was a class action lawsuit brought against BioWare under false advertising, mainly centering on the fact that on the advertising part of Mass Effect's, one of the little taglines was that the decisions you make completely shape the experience. No. And they centered on that and said, well, the ending was a carbon copy with different colour fillers.
But they do completely change your experience. Everything you do in that game is a choice as to what happens. Like,
yes.
And the ending, yes, it is maybe a bit of a tag-on ending to a game that has loads of choices that shape your experience, but still, the choice of which path that you follow and then the consequences...
Which colour filter you get.
The colour is still important. It's still a change.
Well, so that was the conclusion that was ultimately brought about, was that it did... that thematically, the endings were different enough to get around that whole thing. But I think it was mainly... obviously, it was motivated by the general backlash to that ending in general. It got as high as going to the Advertising Standards Agency, which is our UK body for this sort of stuff. And they said that, like, they cleared all the charges and said that the endings were thematically different enough so that it didn't...
Interesting, though, isn't it, that a box art or a piece of information on a box is what led to this, because they saw their little loophole and they tried to exploit it as much as possible. Mm-hmm. Yet still, Bubsy 3D gets to say that it won an award from a game company and a award body that doesn't exist.
When
literally, they made up their own award.
Good.
And awarded it to themselves.
What was the award company called?
I don't know. It's called, like, Zero FX GeForce.
Zero
I don't
effort.
Know. It was something weird like
They've
that.
They still won an award, even if they make it up and give it themselves.
Right.
Like, but
we could totally do that.
Number one winner in the office is me.
Good, yep.
Win.
Legit.
How have you just given yourself the platform to come up with any award you possibly could, and you've just given yourself number one winner?
Number one
I'm
winner.
I'm the best winner.
Of the on the office, I'm not greedy. Of the office.
I'm the best Crash Team Racing player that's ever been.
In the office.
In the world. No, in the world.
In the world. Did you not see the footage? Clearly. I think that having been someone who was incredibly annoyed by the end of Mass Effect 3, I didn't get as hoorah as to try and get into any action, class action lawsuit type stuff. But I guess I can see the whole, like, any sort of fandom looking for an outlet and latching onto that sort of thing. But it just proves that you're not going to get it off the ground.
I've an interesting one, though. Were they trying to sue for emotional damages, or were they trying to sue for, like, money, like, time wasted?
Well, it was that whole sort of snafu about, like, I love the word snafu, that whole sort of gaggle of things that went down. The idea that EA had, like, got involved in the development so much that it affected it, and we wouldn't get a conclusion to this until Kotaku did their big reveal all expose, which revealed that it was BioWare as well. EA had set the deadlines, but it was a lot of BioWare's issues. But yeah, I think it was just that they wanted a better ending, basically.
Understandably, but at the end of the day, and this is not me at all defending Mass Effect 3's ending. Mm-hmm. I too was one of the people that was very annoyed about that. But you have to end it somehow, and you could. There are only a finite ways of ending stories.
This is the thing. As much as Shepard's story is your own story, and the one that you craft and the way you interact with people affects the whole Mass Effect universe, it's still like a written linear story that needs to have a definitive start that you don't pick, and a definitive end, like to cap it off. Mm-hmm. The middle bit is what you experience, and that's the important part of it.
I think we should do a whole Mass Effect podcast, like the state of the franchise, where it needs to go, and the hiccups and stuff. Because I mostly disagree with you. I think that the stuff that that's the thing, because they made it linear, that went against the freeform sort of stuff they were giving you beforehand. When they made Shepard an actual person who was all freaked out and haunted by this one child that died at the beginning, like you could have played Monster as a could have played Shepard as a total monster to that point,
and he shouldn't have cared,
or they shouldn't have cared, and so that. Is that what you were going to say?
I'm just of the mindset that if they took out that final three color choice system at the end and literally had it so that the game had already decided what your ending was going to be based on the events leading up to that point, as in, all it's done is just given the curtain lift of just saying these are the three choices you have for an ending. Mm-hmm. What could have happened is that if you weren't made aware that those were the three choices, you would have this experience of like, oh, well, my shepherd died at the end. It's like, oh, my shepherd lived at the end because I did something. But like, oh, okay, fair enough. If you're not aware of the actual choices.
The whole point of the ending is that you pick, like that's the whole thing, isn't it? Is that you still, at the very end, you're still picking what happens. And it's still the whole like Paragon, Renegade, straight down the middle for the synthesis, is it? I think taking away that choice, would I don't know. I agree. I think one that pedals out compared on your actions would be great, but
you would never do. You'd never go so far as to go on a class action lawsuit.
Oh no!
It seems bizarre almost. Doesn't
for the
it?
Sake of when you were on about the colored endings, I remember there was one video that went viral back then that showed them. It was like a gridded ending. And it showed all the endings playing out in unison, like one by one by one, and then side by side. That's one of the things that cemented to people like, oh, it is the same ending reskin.
Because it's just the color.
But I think that obviously the takeaway sentiment is no matter how annoyed you get with an artistic work, that any fan or consumer doesn't really have the right to try and change it. Because then BioWare obviously ended up kind of caving and doing the extended cut, which kind of papered over some of the wounds, but it was still really like stock 2D animation.
That sets a precedent as well. Because now we're in a situation where if consumers, and they have every right to complain about if a game or anything they buy is not up to the product that was described to them, but being able to retroactively change stuff is something that is brand new for us as a society. Like being able to just be like, this is art, but art that can be changed. It's very scary.
My mind goes to something like Star Wars, where it's like the backlash to The Last Jedi, and then it's like, Rise of the Skywalker. Oh, Luke's not dead, and he's back as a ghost.
Even George Lucas just tinkering with his own movies. It's like going back and refraining.
Young Jabba in the earlier films is bad. Like
Jabba when he was a dude before he was a worm.
It's
iconic. The next thing I've got down is from 2015. All of these lawsuits, all the different write-ups about this lawsuit keep referring to this person as just a person. So I guess their name wasn't included.
Okay.
But it's one Russian dude from Krasnoyarsk who got so addicted to Fallout 4 that he sued Bethesda, and he said that
I heard about this.
It's great. He just he said that he ended up not going into work, he ignored his friends, he ignored his wife, and his wife left him. So he ended up messaging, he filed this whole lawsuit against Bethesda, and he said that if I knew this game could have become so addictive, I would have become a lot more wary of it. I would not have bought it, and I would have left it until the holiday or until the New Year holidays.
That's just a load of crap. We've all been sat down and been on a game so much that you're like, oh, okay, I really need to assess my levels of how much I'm dedicated to this, and what else matters. Like the addiction is a really serious problem, and a really hurtful emotional one as well, but just displacing all of those feelings onto a company and going, oh, you were this problem for me, like nothing about this was about me, is not how you move on or address it or fix it,
especially when like the core of Fallout 4 doesn't have what you would class as like gambling mechanics or things that create sort of like, I don't know, like as addictive as loops as you see in lots of Ubisoft games or the GTA 5 online casino or whatever. yeah, I mean, that thing was thrown out almost immediately. It barely got off the ground, but it's a fun thing to talk about in terms of why you might try and sue a game.
Because obviously the Fallout games have, like, they're pseudo RPGs in the fact that you build your characters and stuff, but they're nowhere near the sort of like grind levels as you get in some sort of like Diablo stuff.
So there's no loot box stuff.
And it's very weird to see that this person has just created their own gameplay loop where they're just going to keep going and going and going with it.
But I mean, how much do you ever sit when you're playing something where you're, because you do that thing where you do like a long stint on a game and like obviously you get involved in invested in all sorts of different gameplay loops and things like that. Even though that takes away like a lot of time, I would never blame the product for that. Like, it's obviously the agency is on us.
I'd be thankful that it gave that much opportunity to be that invested in it, if that sounds, I know it's a bit of a backwards way of viewing it, but that they had that much content for you to get involved with and to want to interact with is impressive.
I can't think of the last time that I've felt like, oh, I can't do anything else. I need, because there is that thing where it's like 2 a.m, it's like, I'll do one more mission.
Yeah.
One more thing. I've had that with Skyrim where it was like one more little side quest or something. I remember that, a lot of that, but I don't know if it was the last time that you guys had a thing where you were like, I just want to keep playing. I don't want to sleep. I just want to keep going.
God of War was that for me. I had that feeling. Because there were times I was like, oh, I could go to work, I could play God of War. But then I'd come into work and write about God of War until I could go home and then play it.
Can we please do a podcast so I can talk about God of War?
Yeah, literally. I was like, let me do content around it. But that was the first time I felt like, oh, I really, really need to play this. But then previous to that, it's been the Elder Scrolls games where it's been like 9-10 hour days of just, because it was when I had the time to
do that. You can just live in them as well.
Yeah, because when I was on summer holidays and stuff and just could absolutely smash it.
That is.
I know.
What a time.
Oh, 10-hour Oblivion Day was... Ooh.
It's a beautiful thing. Ooh.
The most recent one was the Resident Evil 2 remake.
Oh, yeah.
Just because of the fact I was...
Every time I message you, you're like, I'm doing another time trial. I'm trying to beat this time trial.
But as soon as I platinumed it, I was just kind of like, cool, done.
Right.
On with the next one thing. I haven't been back to it since. Beyond
Resi
that,
2 is a hell of a shout though.
Valkyria Chronicles 4.
Right.
Oh man, I've spent so many hours in that one. I still haven't got everything. I want to go back and play
it
right now.
I think the whole, like, again, we do a whole separate podcast on it, but that whole notion of video game addiction, I think as so much more data is available on social media platforms and just us interacting with different levels and the way that things get played, that idea that like any company can like focus in on like, this is the most addictive thing the human mind will ever experience, and you just take to it and like fire through it. Like, potentially this dude had some merit, but obviously the way it came together didn't well in his favour.
Poor guy though.
Because it's
clearly affected his life beyond... just like something that money can repair. If you lose your wife and stuff like that, that's not fun. I mean, if you guys at home know anyone who's like addicted to gambling or gaming, like, it is a serious affliction. Like, I know that we find it not humorous, but it's just so...
The scenario.
It's hard to comprehend sometimes. Mm-hmm. We're not making fun of it.
It's a good indicator of how far we've come in regards to discussing this stuff.
100%. I think Fallout 4, like, even so much as recently, it's very much been like, okay, now video game addiction is a real serious thing that we're classifying as an actual thing. Whereas maybe even then, like a couple of years ago, it was still, nah, it's fine.
Yeah,
don't worry
a little
about
bit.
It.
Yeah. So you were saying you're a bit of a poor guy. Here's someone who's not a very poor person. Do you remember Soldier Boy?
Yeah.
What was that? I couldn't think what that song was. Yeah, that
are
one.
We talking about his console.
Yeah.
Oh,
which was brilliant.
This is big banter.
Did you know this?
High banter. Yeah, we spoke about it previously, but yeah.
Because Mr. Soldier Boy did, at the end of last year, he was like, I'm going to release these different consoles into the market. It was the Soldier Game and the Soldier Game Handheld. And his whole thing, which he was so confident about it, which is brilliant. Because he was like, I'm not going to get sued whatsoever. Like, I'll read out one of the quotes from him. But his whole thing was that he could enter the market with these new systems, even though they had no original games. It was just emulator machines. They would play NES, SNES, PS1, everything that had been released beforehand. And then he was like, everything's totally fine. So on December 28th, a lot of people were saying, mate, you're probably going to get sued. And so he then tweeted on December 28th, for anyone who thinks Nintendo is going to sue me, your R word, nothing's going to happen. Everything is legit. My console isn't going anywhere. Trust me. The games were licensed to us. Why y'all want to see a black man fail so bad? Shake my head. Shakes my head.
Just the noise that came out your throat then.
It beggars belief how anyone can be that sort of like dull.
Let me
when
give
it
you
comes
a follow
to sort of like go on.
So the timeline, 28th of December, he put that out, very confident man. The 30th of December, the consoles were removed from sale. So Nintendo probably were in touch. Just say like, we do own that stuff, to be honest.
This is the thing. There are ways of getting around like emulated things. If you own the legit copy of it, you are allowed to emulate it using like BIOS stuff and things like that. That is like a sort of loophole. You are allowed to.
But then Nintendo disagrees. Consumption?
Not for resale. Yeah. You can use it for personal stuff if you want to play, say like get a PS1 emulator on your PC if you own the original disc and stuff like that.
I think it'll vary by company.
And then you've got other companies that have had their licensing stuff laps, so therefore you can replicate them without any issue. It's why you get consoles like the Retcon 4 or whatever they're called. I don't know what they're on that, where they can play stuff because the technology to create a PS1 or a SNES or a NES has elapsed, and therefore you can make them as replica.
It seems because there are a whole bunch of like SNES.
Something like that.
Yeah, there's like fan-made SNES consoles and stuff. The companies that make them, the whole idea is that they play the original cartridges, but then they they up-res them.
And this is the problem. Mm-hmm. You can make something that plays them, but you just can't
generate the game.
You can't sell the games. Yeah. They are not yours. At no point was it ever, it should never have crossed his mind to just be like, it's like, yeah, this makes sense. I just take everyone else's work and just sell it.
Like, is it Nintendo that got in touch with him, or was it him actually researching his own thing and being like, whoa?
He was all over Twitter and being interviewed, and he talked to Rolling Stone about it, just saying like everything's completely legit, like, oh, it's crazy, but it's all gonna happen, like, yeah, everything's fine. And then it was like 2 days later, everything was just like, say anything after that.
It reminds me so much of the Firefest.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy, because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Right.
So much of that sort of bravado, like, it's going to work, it's going to work, it hasn't worked, oh dear.
Yeah, and I couldn't find any follow-up comments from him, but that sort of media push that it got initially, that level of coverage just completely went away.
Yeah.
There weren't any, like, as far as I could see, there weren't any follow-up interviews of him being like, oh, I was wrong, or whatever. He just shrank away from it, and it's just never been addressed again. Never going to work, though.
I'm going to look up after we've done this podcast and see what the state of it is now. I want to see if they actually
buy one.
Yeah. I was going to say, I totally recommend going on YouTube and looking at the people who did buy them in the tiny window that they were available, because the state of the games that are on them is horrific. Like, they don't even play stuff. Like, they're all glitchy. There's lots of clipping. Like, it reeks of just like a third party like attempt to try and cash in kind of thing. It wasn't very good. So the next one down is one that you recommended, Jules, which is The Digital Homicide versus Jim Sterling.
This is just hilarious, because like, I obviously don't want to get into any trouble with either of the parties there, but you can watch Jim Sterling's hilarious recount of everything that happened to him. But basically what happened is he reviewed a game, he didn't like it.
The Slaughtering Grounds.
He didn't like it because it was, in his own words, an asset flip where somebody's just stolen other assets from things and they've just like made a game out of it and just turned it around very quickly for profit. The actual developer got in touch and said, my game is not so and so and it's not this, and made a funny video about it calling him Jim King Sterling's son.
Stop swearing on the podcast.
That's
Jules.
My one swear. That's
okay.
My one swear.
One per pod.
And basically, it launched into this huge back and forth between the two. They tried to escalate it and de-escalate it, and then eventually, Jim got a lovely little letter through his door saying that you're being sued for something ridiculous. Like, is it 10 million or 100 million?
It's what the damages that they thought the game was worth. I don't have the statistic for how much they were suing him for, but I do have the whole thing, the countersue, because that the whole thing blew up, like you said, with the asset flip stuff, and then obviously Sterling's fandom then started investigating the game and realized that the game had pieces of artwork in it that were taken from Google Images.
No, Google Image.
They
hadn't even removed like some of the watermarks from it,
or
they
cut around it to make it. To put it in.
You know those like lovely little like white
like the
diamond
stock
things.
Literally,
there's still some of them
with a bad PNG. Sterling's fandom kind of found a whole bunch of that stuff out, and then they ended the devs. What do you call them? Digital Homicide were then sued for $75,000. They then tried to crowdfund it for their own fandom to say, will you help us defend ourselves in court? And out of the $75,000, do you know how much they made?
Go on.
Have a little guess.
What? It's going to be either they either made it or they didn't make it catastrophically. And I already know the outcome of this. So Jim won hands down. So I'm going to go with
Ash. Oh, we're going
$500.
Okay, Ash, what do you think?
What? How much money is this?
How much? They asked for $75,000. How much do you think they made out of it
to
defend themselves
themselves
on the courts?
$25.
More than that, they made $450.
Oh,
which, very short of the $75,000.
That is
But yeah, the whole debacle of that idea. I mean, that's the thing. The takeaway thing is like, no matter how much you know, you hate criticism of your game or whatever, you can't sue the person for not liking your game.
Yeah.
Obviously, the reality of that was the asset stuff.
When you said Digital Homicide, I was on a different path with what this was going to be. Honestly,
just
I was
camera
really
zooming
worried.
In.
Yeah, I was like, holy crap! Like,
good. Sad Millman.
It did actually get a discourse other than just like laughing at the developers' attempts to try and defend the thing. But it did actually open a discussion on what language is acceptable when talking about video games in general, because it does come to a point where if this one person or small team has made this thing, if you're going to come at them and say horrible things about them,
Well, not about them, about the game.
But that's the thing. Mm-hmm. It's trying not to bridge the gap between that. You should always criticize the game, not the people behind it. And I think that they tried to use some of that legally.
There was a little bit
around.
That was part of their damages things, like our reputation's damaged and things like that. I think that is a worthwhile conversation in terms of criticism, because like even on YouTube, especially in the early days of YouTube, there are tons of people who got famous for just ranting and going over top. And this thing's a piece of ass and whatever. Yeah. I'm only not swearing because it's the podcast. Piece of ass is actually
piece of ass.
That's a real piece of ass. But like, yeah, I mean, a lot of people got really big on that stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that is a worthwhile distinction to make, especially like in criticism, because I mean sometimes we like to hate some games, or I do, but I need to pull it back.
I jokingly call Peter Molyneux the father of all lies, but that's only because of the fact that it's been a precedent set that I have not the first person to call him this, and it is taken in great stride with him, because he is actually a very nice man, and he's just doesn't know when to stop.
I love
talking.
Molyneux needs his own podcast as well.
Let's get him on this one.
He'd probably jump at it.
I will get in
touch. I would
touch.
Love to talk to Peter Molyneux.
Just sit there and just like, so Pete, just tell us what you want.
Yeah. Come on, father of all lies. Yeah. Come on, daddy lie bag.
I know, we've not treated him very well. I always
daddy
try to stick up for him.
Bag.
Good. He's definitely going to want to roll with that. I think that's one of the distinctions, though, where it is worth addressing the person, where like sometimes the potential lies or the porcupines that they've done beforehand does then feed into the product, and it is worth talking about both. The next thing I got down is the whole Too Human. Do you remember Too Human?
I remember the name,
right, because that was a whole thing that Silicon Knights tried to get off the ground.
I love this story.
This is just Dennis Dyack used to be a way more reputable dude, and he was going to do this whole thing where it was like Norse mythology meets kind of like cyberpunky sci-fi stuff.
Technonauts,
this whole like futurescape stuff, and with this combat system that was based around the right analog stick so that you would fight things in all different directions.
Honestly,
really cool idea.
And do you know what, for when the game is running it's full stride, it's actually all right. It's not great.
It's
not great. I mean, that death animation is literally somebody counted 15 seconds
horrible
long. Every time you die, a Valkyrie comes down from heaven, scoops you up and picks you away, and the developer was like, it's to show you the importance of death. That's all well and good. It wasn't happening every other five bloody minutes,
especially when you get in the later levels and stuff. The whole thing with that was like Too Human was meant to be this big project that was launched off the, you know, it's gonna like put Silicon Knights on the map or whatever, and there was this whole thing where at the time Epic Games, because they were lending Silicon Knights their Unreal Engine tech to get the game off the ground. And Silicon Knights apparently got very annoyed that Epic were continually, like, you know, promoting the new Gears of War. And they then claimed that the money that Silicon Knights had put into the Unreal Engine to use the license was then being put into Gears of War, which they didn't like.
They also said that it was unfair that they didn't feel like they were being promoted enough as well. And also they didn't receive tech support, and there was other bits and bobs. Basically, just like they said that the Unreal Engine's issues had caused them to miss their launch window, and that had cost them an X amount of money, which is what they were trying to sue
for. So the whole point was that they weren't being supported enough by Epic, and that the Unreal Engine could have done more. So that was kind of like the opening sort of salvo. And then Epic countersued and said, look, like, there's actual code from the Unreal Engine 3 into Humans, so you've reused it without stating that that's the part of the game you're going to reuse or whatever, or the specific code.
And that's where it's so delicious to go up to go up to somebody and just go like, I'm suing you because the engine I've bought and licensed isn't up to scratch. You don't have a license for that. I love that.
It kind of blew up insanely, though, because then, Epic countersued and said that there was Unreal 3 code into Human, to which Epic then won, because it was just literally being like, well, this code is literally present in this game. The amount that was charged for damages was $4.45 million, which Silicon Knights couldn't do.
That's a spicy meatball.
It's insane. So that ended up, that kind of killed the whole thing. And all the games had to be pulled from sale, had to be like pulped and burned or whatever to get rid of them, because they couldn't sell them anymore because they were infringing on the whole copyright thing.
Legally removed from existence for a short time.
Which that was, I think, I don't even know how hard or easy it is to get to Human today.
It's backwards compatible. It's free on Xbox Live because of the fact that there's, I know.
Like, Xbox just like, yeah, go and play it.
I might as well.
I can't remember what the deal was, but Microsoft were just like, look, you know, to be fair, we're mates. Let's just sort something out.
To be fair, you can see past a lot of the crap in games sometimes. Like, there's stuff with Colonial Marines or Evolve or insert.
Insert Ash's favorite game.
Yeah, insert number of games that Ash comes into. It's not that bad. And so I think you should give Two Human a shot and see what you think, because I thought it wasn't
it sounds
bad.
Like the sort of crap that I'd like. It's on that level.
It's your 40, particular brand
40
of crap.
Hours of craptacular combat.
Don't play past the opening bit out of the first few levels. Enough to watch a few cutscenes, get a feel for the combat. But the world is such a cool idea. Like, Cyber Norse is so cool. Techno Norse is so cool.
It's two player as well.
Yeah?
Get a friend involved. I never did the multiplayer. It'll probably actually be really fun.
Friends, would you like to play it with me?
No.
I don't have an Xbox One.
I also don't want to revisit it. But it's really good. It was all right for the time. It could have been worse.
Both of you just smashing your Xboxes. Sorry.
Get yourself on streaming and we'll do that.
Okay,
yes.
All right.
Or also no. But the one I'm going to end on is the one from Black Ops 2, when a Panamanian dictator called Manuel Noriega thought that his likeness was in Black Ops 2. So he sued Activision. He said that even though he was in prison, he went to prison shortly after this, and he was known as a dictator. He said that the fictional version that he was likening himself to in Black Ops 2 was the culprit of numerous fictional heinous crimes, fictional is the key word there, but near enough. He thought he was his likeness or whatever his name is worth to the Panamanians was infringing. So he sued Activision for it. That one was immediately thrown out in October 2014.
Ooh.
Now, to be fair, Call of Duty as a franchise does like to use likenesses,
but
they are usually with the express written consent of the people involved. So I could say that they might have drawn inspiration from somebody. And I mean, there are only so many face generators you can go through without actually ending up looking like someone.
Yeah, it sounds a lot like the Mr. Fish Homer, Mr. Sparkle.
Oh,
Mr.
God, Sparkle. Okay.
Like,
yes.
Like, where it's like,
it's very close.
Absolutely coincidental, but then, if the shoe fits.
Yeah, I mean, I think going down the whole dictator route, obviously there are potential parallels to what his conduct was like beforehand. It was thrown out. But the mayor of New York at the time, Rudy Giuliani, I don't know if he's still the mayor of New York. I don't know New Yorkans, but maybe he is. He said that it wasn't just a victory for Call of Duty, but a victory for art, that you should be able to have these sort of archetypal characters and dictators and whatever, and not infringe on the real dictators.
If you're being an archetypal dictator inside a game, maybe you should assess your image rather than one in like.
Well, that's the thing. The thing that he's citing, where he's like, this guy did lots of heinous crimes, and it's like, why do you want to go up next to that? It reminds me of me.
You're putting yourself there.
Imagine if you had somebody like Ted Bundy just sitting there watching his advert for GTA. So you'd be like, gee whiz, guys, you're making me look bad.
Speaking of GTA as well, there was the whole Lindsay Lohan thing.
Oh, yeah.
Which I didn't have written down, but it is a specific thing where she thought that her, she tried to claim that
it's
her doing.
Of, it's because of that.
Trying to do a peace symbol with a camera, and she reckoned that the mansion that was behind her in the artwork looked like some mansion that she'd once stood next to and took a photo. So. you know, tried.
I don't know, the likeness stuff, it's neither here nor there, is it? Because people, there's apparently, because there's so many humans now, there's someone that is like your like identical twin somewhere on the planet at any given time.
I've got so many.
Have you seen
that? All in games,
a
like.
Bold guy with a beard. Oh no, how hard is that to...
The problem with me and you, Jules, is that we look like the Miis in Nintendo. Like, a bald guy with a beard is you, and anyone with like spiky hair and whatever this thing that I have on my face is me. So it's very easy to infringe on us. Plus, have you seen...
I look completely unique, sorry everyone.
It's true. I was about to say, what is it like being an actual...
being a unique NPC?
No, honestly, I get likened to anyone that has red hair ever. Right. Any celebrity has red hair. Like, you look like her, don't you?
You look like Black Widow.
I get you and Zoe confused all the time.
Yeah, it's hard.
It's just a harsh reality of living in a world with billions of people.
I know.
But still, yeah, the whole likeness thing, I think, because something like South Park obviously made its entire career off just literally lampooning everyone at once.
Yeah.
And somehow seemed to skirt through. I've not looked in the history of South Park stuff. I don't remember if they ever got pulled up on any of it.
Oh, they've been pulled up a few times. Right. But I think they've always come out on top with it. But I don't know, they do, because they do so much controversial stuff in it.
It's that classic text at the beginning, isn't
it?
Work of satire.
There's one episode that's been banned outright, which was a two-parter. They've had to like censor one of the people that they did a rip-off of. I think it was a religious figure though, so it's a bit more down the nose.
I remember
what
that
was. The Muhammad one.
I think so.
I believe so. I remember, yeah, that was one of the only times, but most of the time they just steer right into it and they seem to get away with it.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure in Ghost Recon's case, or in this one with the Manuel Noriega, I'm sure with that it would have said that like L characters included in this are a work of fiction, not intended to do whatever. But, you know, he thought he was... his little image was getting dumped on.
If we are going to close out by thinking about this, which video game would you guys like to have your likeness attributed to?
any of them. I'd just be happy to, I'd be happy to be in one of them.
Yeah, something cool. I don't think there's any characters that look like me. I get compared to Guy Fieri, so I don't really care what, you know,
same
happens.
Yeah, it's like you dress like him.
Good, very good.
I think that Ash would be brilliant in like Overcooked. A little Ash just running around.
Tiny
Ash.
See, I want like an action thing. I want to do something. I don't know. I can't like weaponize
Metal
my
Gear
takes.
Solid?
There's no character that... Oh, I could be the dude from Condemned 2 that shouts at people until they like blow apart or whatever.
Yeah.
I can just come in and be like, it's a bad game, really? And then they all just, you know, die.
I would love to be someone like an NPC in like an Elder Scrolls game that you can just go and talk to and be like, and then have a cat come out or something.
Why would you just
like?
Do
a Skooma addict Ash?
Yeah, literally riddled next to the Khajiit caravans like, hello.
Just like
I
in the
am.
Corner slumped on the Scooms.
Got a penny, governor. Yeah.
Jules, who would you be?
I would love to be...
You'd be an Jamalami.
No, I'd want to be one of the, a bad guy from the upcoming, like, Resident Evil games. I'd love
You're literally that.
That
dude that was in... What was that big evil dude that had was bald with a beard? Not Rasputin.
The guy
that was
from
in,
Resident
like,
Evil 4.
Yes.
With the massive trench coat. Yeah. Yes, I'm him. Oh.
What's that dude called? Why can't we think of him?
He's Mr. Scary.
He's so based on Rasputin, though.
Slash you, yeah. You were bald with a beard at that point.
I was.
You should be suing a Capcom at this point for infringing on your rights.
Maybe I will. And my horrible spindly spider body that I keep within me.
I can't think of that dude's name, but whatever. You can let us know down in the comments below. Or you can find us on social media. And for now, this has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast. And I've been your host, Scott Taylor, joined by Ash Milne.
Hello and goodbye.
And Jules Gale.
Thank you very much, guys.
I'll catch you next time.
Bye. Spindly spider body.
What is the name of that dude?
It's going to annoy you, isn't it?
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter.
Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.